It's showtime, folks. Welcome in. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Thursday. This week is flying by. We are live today at Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville Hotel, as we are every Thursday, and always enjoy being here. Joe is here.
Hey, man.
Dr. Crane back at the studio. JoJo, how is breakfast?
Breakfast is fantastic, as always, at the Omni. Oatmeal is the absolute best at the Omni Nashville Hotel, so if you're in town, you do a staycation, come down here and take in Kitchen Notes, and it's just you feel important. I mean, they got you set up nice in here. You feel like a VIP, which, since we never get to feel like a VIP when we come down the Omni, it's even better.
Yeah, for sure. We're gonna have to get Dr. Crane down here one day.
Yeah,
you know, we'll let him out of his little producer cage.
Maybe. Easy, pal.
Maybe. But
I would love to get a nice breakfast from Omni. I bet they get good thick-cut hickory bacon. Mm-mm-mm.
Yeah. See, look, we got them all excited now.
I'm a big breakfast guy. Come on.
I know you are. No, it's good. Breakfast, hey.
That was one of our greatest discussions on this show was, do you or do you not eat breakfast? And the overwhelming majority was people do not eat breakfast.
Yeah. I don't, like, I'm not a regular, like, I might get a little snack or something, but, like, when I'm here, I eat breakfast.
Oh, of course.
And then it kind of becomes my lunch.
Yeah.
Is what it is.
Yeah. You don't leave till, like, 3, and they're like.
Right. And, I mean, you eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner in all about a two-hour span.
Oh, you got me. Oh, man.
Up and running today. Yeah. Well, no, you don't. The Predators are going to play the Vancouver Canucks. We have no idea when. We do know where, because the Predators will go out there first, but we don't know when yet. But the Preds know officially that it is going to be the Knuckleheads in the opening round of the playoffs.
That's going to be exciting. They haven't played before the Preds got hot, right? They played like last year, didn't play.
Yeah, it was
last year.
They have not played in 2024.
Good. So, I like this. I just don't like the 2 a.m. starts, but nobody's asking me. But what I do like, though, is that we were crunching some numbers down here on the Chase and Big Joe show, and it seems like...
The People Show.
The People Show. It seems like that we we know nothing. We're speculating. Put that out there. The next Friday, a week from tomorrow, might be a playoff game here in town.
Yeah, if you do the math
crazy
on, you know, if they start on a certain date, then... And I've heard they could start Sunday, they could start Monday, they could start Tuesday. Like, they're just everything everywhere that everybody's speculating.
Didn't they move a Lady Gaga concert one year?
I feel like they did that. Could you imagine David Kells making that call? Like, hey, this is David Kells with the Nashville Predators. Listen, we got a hockey game. Can Miss Gaga move?
Yeah. It'd be more like, well, and I think she did, right? If I remember this correctly, she did. So, next, a week from today, Tim McGraw has a concert at Bridgestone. I don't. Would he move? No. No.
Well, I hope no. He needs to stay.
Yeah.
He needs to stay put.
And wear his Preds jersey.
Yeah,
and
that'd be great.
And all that other stuff.
No, he needs to stay put. It goes draft next Thursday night, and you know we're out at Twin Peaks, so there's a lot of nice little things coming together with the Predators in the playoffs and the draft. Hard to believe it's a week away.
Yeah,
we're fine. Finally, we're a week away.
Just go steal one game on the road. Just steal one game,
See, here's the thing. I really like this matchup. I like this matchup because, I know Vancouver is that team that everybody's kind of fallen in love with and going like, oh, yeah, they're pretty good. I think that they are the Nashville Predators the year that – remember the year that they played Anaheim in the first round, went 7 games, and then San Jose, Fisher had the...
2016?
Right.
Yeah.
So the year before they went to the Cup, I kind of think they might be that. Or even the year before when they lost to Chicago in the first round. I think Vancouver is a young, talented team that still needs to learn how to win in the postseason. And the thing about the Predators is you got a ton of guys on that team that have done a lot of winning in the postseason.
Well, I mean, the good thing is now you know, now you prepare, now you go forward, now you take, you get ready for them, and it's the most important game.
Yeah.
In the Nashville Predators franchise history.
The most important game is the next game.
It sure is, Chaser McCabe.
How it is. Now, we talked about this yesterday. I asked you if you were concerned at all about, you know, possibly having a week off, almost a week off. Andrew Brunette was asked that yesterday of how challenging is it mentally to wait so long to start.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely the challenge. I mean, the weather's nicer. The patios are open, especially here in Nashville, and it's hard to really dial yourself in. And I think, again, you're leaning on your veteran groups, and it's good to be starting on the road. So it's, I think for us, it'll be really good for us to get kind of get out of here, have a couple days to prep or a day to prep up there and be ready to go.
So I think they got the right leadership in place that, you know, with guys like Ryan O'Reilly and Roman Josi and Forsberg and Gus Nyquist and, you know, Luke Shen, everybody they've brought in here. They added Zucker at this trade deadline that I think fits
right
in this.
Yeah.
I think they'll be okay, like, because they know they still have that job to do. But I also think it is a little bit of a good thing that you can – they've probably had a couple of days to turn it off and just, okay, let's take a deep breath, relax, and then the postseason's going to begin.
Yeah, I mean, you can't control it. I mean, it's what you got to do, and you got to go and say, all right, here's when we're playing at this time, this day and this time, and get ready for it. I don't think a time off now is a bad thing. And, you know, if they go out and they lose the first two, then the narrative's going to be, wow, they had that week off. If they win the first two, it's like, hey, they were refreshed and ready to go into attack. You just never know when you play that first game. I'm just glad we know, for the most part, who they're playing. Not really sure when they're playing, but now you can go ahead and prepare for the opponent and just go at it, man.
Yeah, for sure. So, they will take on the Vancouver Canucks, and we'll be talking a lot about the Vancouver Canucks as we go along. Today from 4 to 6, Jared and Max Herz will be doing the Predators playoff preview show. So you'll hear from Captain Roman Josi. He'll join the program. Andrew Brunette will join the program. They'll also check in with Pete Weber and Hal Gill. And also go to Vancouver and talk to somebody there. So you'll get the full gamut when it comes to the playoffs.
That's today.
That is today from 4 to 6.
Are they all remote somewhere or in studio?
Jared is going to come down off the mountaintop and be in studio, I believe.
Oh, my goodness. Wow, that's be a police escort probably on the way in to do all that.
Ian doesn't remember what he looks like. So
that's a good thing.
Last time I saw Jared was December. It was the week before Christmas.
Well, there you go.
And did he tip you?
He gave me pretzels. he gave me pretzels.
Nice. All right, so we're a week out from the draft, and do you want to
go ahead.
The question?
Throw it out there.
So a week out from the draft, you know, Joe Wallet is now the overwhelming favorite that people want to probably take, but, you know, they're chipping away, Brett Bowers. So we want to know today, in your opinion, all right, so Joe Walt's father played in the NFL at a high level for many, many, many years. So we want to know, we're just kind of debating this morning, what's the most athletic family, professional sports-wise, of all time? The most athletic family. You know, one that, you know, you could have brothers that have played. I mean, you know, you look at Gronkowski, like, well, Rob Gronkowski is the only one that played at the high level. I mean, his other play, you know, this and that. But, you know, like Walter Payton's brother, Eddie Payton, was a hell of a kickoff returner, a punt returner for the Detroit Lions.
I mean, they probably don't get thought of as much, but like the Matthews family, like Bruce was, Bruce is a Hall of Famer. Clay's
should be a Hall of Famer.
Clay the Third probably had an argument for being a Hall of Famer.
Who's Jake? Is it the for the Falcons now, going his 10th or 11th year? He's played at a high level.
Yeah, Bruce's son play here briefly for a little bit?
Kevin, was that his name?
Kevin, yeah. I mean, he was in the league for a few years.
Yeah,
But I
still.
I mean, look at it as
– I never thought it's a great one.
Yeah, like I look at it as like if you get into the league and you play for 2 or 3 years, like you're in the league.
Yeah.
Like, you know, whether you were good or not.
It's one more snap than I did.
Exactly. Right.
Like Bosa, Nick Bosa, and who's his brother?
Joey.
Their dad, John, played for the Dolphins for many, many years. So the most athletic sports family that you can think of, and it could be football, basketball, baseball. It doesn't matter what sport it is.
The Mannings are going to get a lot.
Mannings will get a lot. Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
My disdain for Peyton Manning's at a high level, so yes.
Peyton, Eli, Archie. Cooper was probably the best athlete of all of them before he got hurt.
Don't start saying that.
Well, I mean, that's what everybody has said. So
it's always the one who doesn't make it as the best athlete.
Sure.
But, yeah, those are – I didn't even thought about that.
The Hasselbecks.
Hasselbecks should be up there. Hey, Dad played.
Yeah.
Dad's got Vikings, a Super Bowl ring. Patriots and the Raiders.
But I think he – when he with
he
the
maybe
Vikings?
For a year.
Yeah.
But I remember Hasselbeck's father from the Patriots, and then he won the Super Bowl ring with the Raiders. I think it was 83. Howie Long was on that team and all that. But – that's a good one.
Yeah. A lot of football. But
McCourty brothers?
McCourty's, yeah.
I mean, you just think about how hard it is for one guy to get to that level, but to have multiple people in your immediate family to get to that level, too, is something else.
615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. The Stonehouses just got a vote. Did his dad play?
I don't know. The Suitors in HL. Oh, you guys are rolling in with these. Thank you.
Suitors are a good one.
Thank you, Larry.
I mean, the Stalls in the NHL. You got Mark and Eric and
Reed what Tim and Spring Hill wrote in. It's pretty good.
Yeah, the Von Erich family.
Yes.
Wrestling. Yeah, that's certainly a good one. So keep these coming, 615-737-1025. The best athletic family any sport, right?
Yeah, Rick Dixon, Reggie and Cheryl Miller. That's, man, talk about basketball talent, both of them. It's a shame. We could do a whole other show one day about athletes that never won a world championship that probably deserved and should have. And Barkley and Reggie Miller. What Reggie Miller did in the playoff game versus the Knicks when he scored like 11 points in 3 seconds, whatever it was, is one of the most all-time fantastic athletic achievements ever.
I laugh so hard at that, I guess it's the State Farm commercial where the guy, like, he says jumping through hoops and, like, Caitlin Clark and I think it's Jimmy Butler or somebody up here. And then Jake from State Farm is like, yeah, you know, we'll insure anything, you know, from this car to an old Pacer. And then Reggie Miller pops up like, who said they needed an old Pacer?
Let's see that.
it's awesome.
Oh, that's really good.
He's like, who needs an old Pacer?
Like, oh, man, yes.
Okay, a lot of you want to weigh in on this. We'll start things off. Greg Wyshynski going to join us at 9:30. 615-737-1025. The best athletic family. We'll take your calls. We'll take your texts. We're live today here at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Kitchen Notes here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. It's a rare condition this day and age.
What?
Here on a TV theme Thursday.
What is that?
Full House?
No.
I know, like, I can see it in my head. Family Matters?
Yes, Chase, you got it. Family Matters.
Family Matters, yeah. So I laughed. Like, a few years ago, there was, like, this fascination of taking, like, old 80s and 90s TV opens and putting them into something, like, you know, today.
Yeah.
And somebody took this with the Family Matters open and did the Titans. And so, like, with Vrabel and John Robinson.
I remember that, yes.
Yeah, you remember that? Oh, it was great. And then they did one with the NBA, like, with I think it was the Cavs. It's like, starring LeBron and, like, all the other – and then it had, like, and Kendrick Perkins as Coach Perk or something like that.
Oh, my goodness. I remember that. And then they did the commercials where they actually did, like, the dad from Family Matters.
Yeah.
The insurance commercial would walk in and then the fake audience clapping and all that. Nostalgia, man, I'm telling you, the older you get, the more you realize how nostalgia plays a huge part in your life. Like, I read the Black Crowes were at the Opry House like 2 weeks ago and sold it out. And somebody said it was the greatest concert of all time because I was back in the early 90s again. I was like, nostalgia, man. It takes you back to a time and place where everything was absolutely perfect. So our question of the day is the most athletic family, sports-wise, that you think is most athletic family. And, you know, we threw out three or four of these, but you guys are fantastic. 615-737-1025. Who do you think the most athletic family is? And which started the conversation because of Joe Walt, you know, probably going to the Titans next week. His father, John, played at the Chiefs for a long time. And so there's always a, you know, it doesn't mean you're going to be successful.
Sure.
Does not mean you're going to be successful because, look, and as much as I love Walter Payton, his son was terrible.
Jarrett Payton
was terrible.
Yeah.
And so in the NFL, he's okay college player at Miami. That's fine, whatever. But it translated to the NFL.
He was
here. Yeah, that's right.
I took a flyer on him.
Yeah. Walter's good friend.
Man, buddy, Jarrett Payton.
all right, so a couple of answers. 1589 says the Watt brothers, hands down. I mean, it is pretty impressive that three of them made it to the league. Now, obviously, JJ is a Hall of Famer. TJ is a pretty good start on that track. And Derek was the one that he was a fullback.
But yeah.
Yeah, he's been in the league. So
that's three brothers in the National Football League that are playing.
I just thought of that, like, same thing. We've left out a pretty big family that probably goes across multiple sports. What about the McCaffreys?
Yeah, I mean, mom was fantastic.
Dad was the receiver for Denver, right?
Yep, but won a couple Super Bowls. Christian, and then his brother.
There's another one that's supposedly
at Rice or somewhere that's going to be drafted. Yeah, that's pretty good. But I wouldn't put in the same level as the Watts.
No, but I mean, like, but isn't Ed McCaffrey's the dad, right?
His daddy.
Yeah, but isn't there another one that went to Vanderbilt that's related somehow?
Billy McCaffrey?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Are they related?
I don't know. I don't. Willie would do it because he's got posters of Billy McCaffrey in his bedroom and on the ceiling.
Jim from Springfield says the Alou family for baseball, Barry family for basketball.
Oh, Rick Barry. Yeah. He had like 18 kids that played, and they were all bald like him. But, yeah, they were fantastic. One of those Barry kids played at Kansas, won a national championship. But the Alou family in baseball.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yep.
The Molinas.
Yep. That'd
be another one. Paul says, how about the Howe family in hockey? Gordie Howe playing with his two sons, Mark and Marty.
How long did Mark and Marty play in the NHL?
I don't know. I mean, this would have been probably the 80s.
Yeah. Gordie Howe. I mean, what? He played into his 50s. I mean, it's just fantastic.
I know.
Gosh.
Okay, so is this is Alden. The Baileys in the NFL also have the all-name team. Champ Bailey, Boss Bailey. I think the youngest, Stud Bailey, played in college. Is that right?
That's a good one. I don't know. Look that up there. Tim Hasselbeck has told us that he thought that is it Champ that he played with is the best athlete that he's
and I've heard that too.
Been around.
The Ripkins in baseball, Cal, Billy, and then Cal Sr. was a manager.
Yeah. Oh, Cal Sr. wasn't a good man. I remember they went 0-21 in 1988. It was really bad.
The Williams sisters in tennis, and then, of course, the Kelseys.
I mean, that's pretty – I mean, look, I know Travis is a bonehead and all that other stuff. But don't take away from what Jason Kelce – I add Jason Kelce
– they're both Hall of Famers.
– is before all this started, might be one of the top three centers ever played football.
Yeah.
And I told you this last fall. I spent an entire game – this is how boring my life is – watching Jason Kelce not only snap shotgun and get to the second level, but pancake dudes.
Yeah.
And he would pull – how many centers pull – in the National Football, very little throughout history have pulled. Jason Kelce was absolutely amazing as a center. He's a first – if he's not a first ballot Hall of Famer, then don't get rid of the Hall of Fame. But, yeah, those two are good.
Well, and look, Jason's story is fantastic too. He was, I think, a tight end. It goes to Cincinnati as a walk-on. His coach, one of the coaches there, gets him to convert to line, was like, look, you're built to be an offensive lineman. It makes him into a center. Goes through all that, ends up getting to the league, almost gets cut by the Eagles at some point. You know, Andy Reid gives him a chance there. He turns it around and becomes a, you know, what he became, a Hall of Famer.
Right, yeah.
So, and look, I'll say this. Both of them have something that I wish more athletes had, and that's personality. And, you know, there's so many times that if a guy shows personality, then.
Well, here's the deal. In coming on this side of the media landscape, a lot of these guys think that I have an agenda, and I being the media world, right?
Sure.
Now, there are a few guys. I mean, you know, does Paul Kuharsky have an agenda? Sure he does.
Sure.
Some of the best sports writers have an agenda. So a lot of times they think that because you're in there talking to them that Chase McCabe's
got.
I know you well. You know me well. I don't have an agenda.
Right.
I'm going to ask you softball questions for the most part, unless there's something that.
Fun.
Yes.
Know. Yeah.
That regards it. So Jason Kelce understood all that, and that's why it made him really fun to talk to.
Robbie Stanley just texted in with a good one from hockey, the Tkachuks. Of course, Keith Tkachuk and then Matthew and Brady Tkachuk now playing. So that's certainly a good one. Let's see. Keep these rolling in. 615-737-1025. Jack says, here's a rogue one. The Smith wrestling family. 6 World Olympic titles, 11 NCAA titles, 22 All-Americans. I'm not familiar with them, but that's fantastic.
That's real wrestling.
right, sure.
Right.
The Curry family, 00908.
Yeah.
So Del Curry and then Steph and Seth.
Yep. They're good, man. Del Curry, he was my age. I mean, when he was at Virginia Tech, he was – you know,
sure.
Launching 35 footers. and was fan, and he had it, but playing for the Hornets was great, man.
Bobby and Brett Hull, another hockey one. Gene and Spring Hill, the Boone family in MLB. Ray Boone, his son Bob, Bob's son Brett.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's a great one. That's a great one, yes.
The Griffies, good one. The Rodmans, Dennis, of course, Trinity, top-tier women's national soccer player, and mom was a college soccer player as well.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, okay. I see, like, I like the ones that you know, like, one person, but then you can trace the lineage.
Yes.
Back, Aaron Middle Henry. Apparently no one saw the dancing ability of the Osmonds. True athletes right there.
And yesterday was Jimmy Osmond's birthday. It sure so was. Thanks for calling in, Aaron Middle Henry, because the Osmonds were fantastic.
Yeah, C-Max family, brother getting drafted this year. Both parents were successful in college, and dad was successful in the NFL, I would say. More votes for the Mannings, and we didn't mention Arch earlier. That's now part of that.
By the way, Gordie Howe's son, one of these is Mark. That's why I like this, because it makes me look stuff up. Mark Howe played in the hockey from 71 to 95.
Oh, wow.
He was with the Flyers from 83 to 92, 10 years with the Flyers. Wow.
I did not know that.
There's the Joneses, Chandler and John Jones. Chandler Jones, football player. John Jones, UFC fighter. Isn't there a third one? I think there's a third one.
Paul Jones, maybe? Fuck, 17.
Arthur Jones. Yeah, former player. I knew there was a third one. He just went as big.
These are great, man.
So that's a good one. That's from Nick and Franklin. Jeff and Hendersonville did it as well. Another for the Molinas. Oh, wow. I didn't know about that. This is A309. How about the Fullers? Vincent, Corey, Kendall, and Kyle, all in the NFL. Vincent played for the Titans. Remember
right.
Kenny Fuller?
He intercepted the pass on Monday Night Football versus the Saints.
Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't know he had
he's
brothers.
He's coaching. Oh my God! I had this talk with Keith Bullock about this, where he is now. Yeah, yeah.
I loved Vinny Fuller.
Maybe he's a lawyer now or something.
He was one of those guys that, like, he was a Fisher guy for sure. Yeah. Like, just always worked hard and, like, wasn't that household name that, like, if you said the Titans, he wouldn't be the first one that came to mind, but he was always a guy that was going to be in the middle of a play.
He filled those needs what that team had.
Oh, yeah.
Vincent Fuller is now he played 6 years with the Titans, 1 year with the Lions, because he got up there, and that's where
he went with Schwartz, right?
That's right. Yeah. He's a lawyer. He's
wow.
Got his JD, got his Joe Dubin, post-playing career at Fordham University School of Law. Do you think you could make it through law school?
Hell no.
I'd last a week. No. Because then I'd lose an argument and start fighting.
Right. Well, and I'm not patient enough to read and, like, memorize all the stuff you got to memorize. Yeah. Like, what is it? All this Latin stuff and what it means. I'd make every time somebody said pro bono, I'd start laughing, make a joke.
Oh, that's why I got Blair Durham on retainer, man.
We've left out a big one in this state.
Okay,
the Colquitts.
Punters, though, man.
Yeah, no, don't do that. They're still athletes.
I'm kidding, man.
I know. I mean, like, look, I've left out a big one with racing the Earnhardts. I mean, it's three generations. The Petties. So
what's Cary Earnhardt doing now?
Cary Earnhardt
was he the firstborn?
Yeah, and he didn't really know his dad until later in life.
That's got to be weird between him and Dale Jr. though. Are they buddies?
Yeah, no, they're very close.
Okay,
yeah,
good. I like to
so
hear that.
So Cary, Dale Jr. and Kelly are all really close, and then Taylor was the youngest, and I don't know if they have much.
Is that the one with Teresa?
Teresa, yeah.
Okay, so but Teresa and Dale Jr. aren't close.
No. Teresa's not close to any of them, so
they buy her out of. She still owns it.
She owns, yeah, she owns everything. There's stuff. The Dell Jr. Download goes into a lot of this stuff, but there's a shop behind DEI that they call the Deerhead Shop, which was like the original shop and where Dale's office was and everything.
Right.
That building has not been opened since February 18th, 2001. She does not let anybody go in there.
Does she go in there?
Nope.
This is another topic. Family drama that just Now you got me. I almost spend the afternoon now looking up drama in the Earnhardt family.
Yeah, there you go. There's a lot of it, for sure. Coming up next, we will talk the playoffs and the matchup with the Predators and the Canucks. Greg Wyshynski, ESPN, will join us next. 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We're live today at Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville Hotel. And Dr. Crane back at the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. It's time for the playoffs, the Stanley Cup playoffs in the National Hockey League. We say hello to Greg Wyshynski of ESPN, brought to you by ESPN Bet Sportsbook. Greg, what's up? How are you?
I'm doing great, man. It's really weird, though, like how much is still up in the air going into tonight as far as the Western Conference goes, because everything else is set except for a few more of these chess pieces moving potentially tonight.
Yeah, I know. I will say, though, I am glad to know the Predators are going to play the Vancouver Canucks. That is set in stone now. I know there's some other things that can happen elsewhere, like, L.A. could pass Vegas and all those things. But it certainly helps from a planning standpoint, and the fact that the Predators ended their regular season on Monday, that now they know their opponent.
Yeah, for sure. And it should be a fun series. I mean, like, honestly, the Canucks have been a team that we've all been trying to figure out exactly how good they are and how good they can play in the postseason. I think that, defensively, there's been a through line throughout the season of them playing well. I think offensively, they're overly reliant on their core top players. And the Predators are a different kind of opponent than I think a lot of people thought Vancouver would see. I mean, I think we were all anticipating that Vancouver would see someone more plodding and methodical like the Los Angeles Kings, or a team like Vegas that could really, shut you down with the way that they played D under Coach Bruce Cassidy. To see a Predators team that plays with such pace go up against the Canucks is going to be a really interesting one.
I tell you what else too, Greg, is I'm going to love the coaching matchup. You got Brunette in his first, full year as a head coach, but Rick Tocchet, what he's done with Vancouver, I think these two coaches match up well, so that should make it a lot of fun too.
Yeah, we should just rewrite the rules, and whoever wins the series wins the Jack Adams. Let's just make it clean. get rid of all the rigmarole of voting, and just whoever wins gets the Jack Adams. No, it's going to be really cool. And, obviously with the work that Bruno's done to get this team into the playoffs has been well documented, and the work that Tocchet has done to transform that Canucks team has been well documented. The defensive improvement year over year, and the way that he kind of put the hammer down very early in the season to get their attention as far as threatening playing time and things like that. I think he's done a marvelous job with that team in getting them to play well, and obviously to get them keeping their heads up above water and finishing first in the division.
Okay, Greg, two-part question here, my man. First part, tell me why the Preds can win this series against Vancouver. And the second part, tell me how they cannot win this series.
Well, okay, let's do it with the second part first. They might not win the series because I think Vancouver is a deeply talented team that really has found its stride. It's interesting to see the parallels. I mean, obviously they have Quinn Hughes. The Predators have Roman Josi. The Forsberg O'Reilly thing, and then you've got Pettersson and like JT Miller on the other side. There's a little bit of a mirror aspect to some of the parts of these teams. But overall, like the Canucks have, with home ice and the way that they play D and just the performances they're getting out of their star players, it might be a little too much for the Predators to handle. Well, that being said, they could win the series if they put a scare into them. I mean, the bottom line for this Canucks team is that there's a load of expectation on them. But no one really knows how they're going to react to that expectation in the playoffs if they face adversity. They haven't faced a lot of it this year, prolonged losing streaks or injuries. And so, if the Predators go in there and punch them in the mouth in one of these first two games and come back to Nashville with a split or with a lead, it remains to be seen how Vancouver can handle that. They're not the most experienced, deep playoff run team.
I go back to 2017 when we always in Nashville forever, Greg. We always go back to the great Stanley Cup run. I remember talking to PK Subban when they're going to play Chicago. He goes, "We want to steal one of the two." He goes, "But if you can get that first game on the road and put that doubt in their mind, like we're here to play," he goes, "you're going to win." And I'm just thinking, man, they go up there, get that first game on the road, plant that seed of doubt. This could be great for the Nashville Predators.
Yeah, I think that's the design for any of these teams that are looking at long odds in their series. I think the Capitals are probably in the same boat against the New York Rangers. I mean, nobody's given the Caps really a chance in that series, but you know, if they go in and they eke one out against them, you know, then who knows? That's completely right. I mean, they're going to have to take one of two in Vancouver to have a prayer in this series. And if they do, it'll be interesting to see how much momentum the Predators can ride when they get back to Nashville and what that does psychologically to the Canucks.
Yeah, you mentioned the Caps. Greg Wyshynski is with us. The Detroit Red Wings just have to, I mean, the heartbreak like of how that all happened and the Caps end up getting that last spot.
I mean, it was one of the most unprecedented races I've ever seen. I'm a guy that wants to see the playoffs expanded beyond 16 teams, but this was not the season to make that argument because, like, the finish in the East was dope. I mean, the idea of the Capitals advancing in that game because the Flyers pulled their goalie in a tie game, because the Flyers thought they had to win in regulation, even though they had already been eliminated because Detroit made the playoffs. Like, I hate doing math. You had to do a lot of math in the last game of the season for these teams. But the bottom line is that, you know, to have the Capitals win a game that then knocked out three other teams on their last game of the season is just wild. It's a wild finish. And, you know, Detroit's going to be real pissed off that they didn't make the cut. They certainly fumbled the bag down the end. I don't think anyone's going to be more mad than the Flyers, because they were locked into the number three seed in their division for like the longest time. And all they did was, you know, finish a couple points out of the playoffs and completely screw their draft lottery odds for a team that's still very much in a rebuild. So, you know, all those teams I think are going to be disappointed. And the Capitals are an interesting team. I don't think they're going to beat the Rangers, but you know, they've been a team that has been defying the odds and defying the predictions of a lot of people this season. So it wouldn't shock me to see them shock them.
There'll be a lot of time to talk about, you know, the offseason and everything, but is this kind of the end of the line for Pittsburgh and they're going to be different moving forward now that they've missed the playoffs?
No, I don't think so. I mean, that core is signed through next season. And, you know, as they showed with Sid playing down the stretch, he's still got something left in the tank. They're kind of locked into trying to do this again next year. Now, they might do it with a younger supporting cast. They might you know, change the vibe. Obviously, like Jeff Carter retired last night. So there's going to be changes on the roster. But the thing about, like, Kyle Dubas and that team is that he was tasked with not only trying to transition this team to whatever comes next after Sid and company leave, but also to maximize their window to win now. And the bottom line is that as long as those guys are under contract, they're going to have to try to win. They can't go into a full rebuild. So kind of expect more of the same next year. You know, try to figure out the right mix of players to eke into the playoffs and then hope that in a 7-game series, Crosby and Malkin and Letang and Carlson and whoever's in goal is going to be enough to try to win a series.
We'll probably get an announcement maybe sometime today, but the Coyotes said goodbye to Arizona last night and looks like they are officially going to move to Salt Lake City. I know there's all this stuff about, you know, current owner could get a kind of a Cleveland Browns kind of thing, could end up getting another franchise and having a team back in 5 years or so. Do you think that that's realistic that the NHL would do that when they finally expand again, which I guess is going to happen? Or do you think it's truly the end of hockey in Arizona?
So two things. First of all, it will happen today. The Board of Governors are meeting later today, and they're just going to, you know, sign off on a transaction that the executive committee already signed off on. So we'll have a formal announcement of relocation later today. I'm going to guess the team will be called the Utah Somethings rather than Salt Lake City is my guess at this point. as far as Arizona goes, they had to figure out a way to make sure that Alex Morillo wasn't going to sue them into oblivion by trying to take this team away from him. And the best way to do that was to keep this idea that he can maybe win this land auction this summer and build the thing he wants to build. And then, you know, within 5 years, if he hits all these benchmarks for arena construction and everything else, they'll give him the opportunity to buy an expansion team. Now, I don't think anyone thinks it's going to happen. I don't think the NHL thinks that he's going to build this thing. I don't think that a lot of people think he has the money to build it. I don't think that the people think he's going to hit the benchmarks the NHL puts into this contract. to enable him to activate that reignition clause to start the franchise again. And at the end of the day, the thing I'm really interested in when this announcement comes out is, does Alex Morello, the Coyotes owner, need Board of Governors approval to restart the franchise within 5 years? Because if he does, they might not give it to him, even if he does all this stuff with the arena and everything else. So you mentioned, you know, the market. They're going to go back. Like, there is a reason Gary Bettman has fought tooth and nail for the better part of like 15 years to keep that team in the Phoenix area. They love the market. They know it's fertile. They know with the right owner, the right team, stability, a new arena, that they can really make a killing there. The problem is that, you know, that never happened under the Coyotes' different owners. And it certainly won't happen if Morello gets the team back, because, I mean, I think he's torched every bridge that he had with the fan base, with the local community, in the way that that team has conducted business in the last couple of years.
Yeah, well, it's sad for the fan base, but going to be interesting to watch for sure. Looking forward to the playoffs. We'll be talking next week when the playoffs are underway. Thanks so much, Greg. Appreciate it.
Listen, sad? You don't know sad until you've watched a bunch of Coyotes fans crying while somebody's playing James Brown's I Feel Good on the arena loudspeakers last night at the end of that game. Now that is sad. That was the saddest thing of the sad things last night.
Wait, they're Coyote fans?
It's the same thing they say about Devils fans. They're super passionate. There just aren't enough of them. You know?
Yeah. So. By the way, Greg, if you make it to town next week, Chase City will take you to the Tim McGraw concert a week from today, which will postpone the Nashville Predators playoff game when they come back here.
Well, that will make an even 100 Tim McGraw concerts for me. So, no, I'm kidding, of course.
never took you as a fan, Greg. Okay, nice.
Well, I mean, I was a Tug McGraw fan. My dad tells me he was a good pitcher, so I don't know.
Yeah,
he was. He was indeed. Awesome. We'll talk next week.
Anytime.
Greg Wyshynski, ESPN, joining us on the show as he does every Thursday. Always look forward to those conversations. We'll get back into our question of the day. We're live today at Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville Hotel. The Chase and Big Joe Show is presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game here on this Thursday. Appreciate Greg Wyshynski for joining us. Hey, don't miss Nashville's best 2024 NFL draft coverage. 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Hard to believe it's a week from today. Next Thursday, you can stop by Twin Peaks in Madison at 6 o'clock for live draft coverage. Get the best draft coverage as we break down each pick at the home of the 29 Degree Beer. Coverage presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment, ESPN Bet, and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. And our panel next week is going to be the best. Jared Stillman, of course, will anchor all the coverage. We'll have D-Mace, we'll have Chris Sanders, and ESPN's Trevor Maddich will join
Trevor
us.
Trevor Maddich.
So looking forward to that.
I like old Trevor Maddich.
Oh, yeah. Trevor.
Got himself a national championship ring. Got his butt kicked in the Super Bowl by the Bears. First-round draft choice by the Patriots. I like Trevor. I like what he talks about. I like it because he comes from a lineman perspective, and he's not one of these handsome, fancy receivers like Chris Sanders and Derek Mason.
Or a quarterback like Tim Hasselbeck.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so looking forward to that. Next Thursday night. Our question of the day, JoJo, is?
What's the most athletic sports family that you can think of? And what we're loving about this is that it's not just football, but we're getting racing, wrestling, hockey. I mean, all the sports are being represented here. Somebody said to know about Mario Andretti, that family.
I mean,
I didn't even think about that.
There's several in, right? Like the Unsers. You know, you can put the Unsers in there. In NASCAR, we mentioned the Petties and the Earnhardts. Look, locally, I'll put the Marlins in there. You know, Sterling, Cuckoo Marlin, Stedman did some racing around here.
Right.
Sterling, the grandson, is a racer as well. So.
So what, you know, kind of a clarification with this is what determines, you know, the next step? Like, you talk about the Matthews family.
Yeah.
Jake, Matthews with the Falcons, Bruce, of course, Clay Jr., and then, you know, Bruce's son Kevin played 2 or 3 years. I mean, does it make it a year in the league? Do you have to establish yourself? There's all kind of like parameters that you have to talk about to be that. But the ones that are clear cut, like J.J. Watt's family,
The Matthews family, Bosa's, all those are clear cut. Yeah. Manning's,
I think what I like about this question is it's to me it's just kind of up to your interpretation of where you want to take it. I mean, there's so many places that you know you can take this. Like I obviously go to the racing side, the wrestling. The Von Erichs was a good one, but I mean, you have the Hart family, the you know Bret Hart and Owen Hart, and all of them had something to do with wrestling. Stu Hart,
who was Macho Man's brother.
Oh, he was the genius.
Leapin' Lanny Poffo.
Poffo, Lanny Poffo.
That's it. Yeah,
yeah. He was the he played the genius.
But if you think about the highest level, I mean, the Mannings Super Bowls. I mean, the one that Rick Dixon sent in about Reggie Miller and Cheryl Miller.
Yeah.
I mean, being at the very top of their sport, that's something else to consider into consideration. And you know. Yeah.
I mean, there's so many. The nurses, Darnell Nurse, who's a D-man for the Oilers. Cousin Sarah was one of the best women's hockey players. And Darnell's sister, Kia, is a WNBA player. And their uncle is Donovan McNabb.
That's pretty good.
That's a good one.
That's a pretty
good
like family.
We'll get into more of these later in the show. 615-737-1025. As anytime we bring this up, the text line just blows up. So keep them coming. But coming up next, I'm going to do one of your favorite things.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to look at a mock draft. But Dane Brugler went through the whole draft, all seven rounds.
We got to get this guy a life.
Who does he have coming to Tennessee? We'll look at that and talk about that. Coming up next, 1 week from today, is the draft. It's the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.